Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on September 7th, 2017. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer, executive producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
Summer is over. Winter is coming.
It was amazingly cool yesterday.
Yeah, you know something cool? Yeah, today it is, too. I got up and there was actually some condensation on the windows, which normally only happens in the colder weather. But that what I just said, that was like a double entendre. You're not a Game of Thrones watcher, so you don't get the Winter is Coming reference, do you?
It's the winter of our discontent. I read a little Shakespeare. Game of Thrones.
No, this has nothing to do with Shakespeare. This is all Game of Thrones, which for anybody that's listening is a couple of weeks ago I started watching it. I'd never watched it before. Yeah. The seventh season just ended, and I never watched it. And all of a sudden, you know, for whatever reason, I decided, let me check out the show. And I am hooked. It's fantastic. Every episode is like a movie in itself. The production values are unbelievable. The line that goes on throughout the show is, what is it? The night is dark and full of terrors and winter is coming. Anyway, speaking of the weather, how was your Labor Day weekend?
The weekend was fantastic. The weekend was great. We had a wonderful time on Monday. Monday was Bacados and then the fair. So we had a fantastic time with the Eagles tribute band wrapping up the fair on Monday. That was a great experience. But Thursday, a week ago today, it was 100 degrees in Westwood Village at the farmer's market. It was miserable. 1 week ago today.
Joe, I have to tell you, you know, I was down at Fiesta Hermosa Saturday. We hooked up with some friends for a strand cruise. We were at Fiesta Hermosa. Well, we met south on the strand. We stopped. We were by the International Boardwalk. Then we went up to Fiesta. Then we went up to OB's up in North Manhattan.
Yeah.
And from there, we went to a friend who lives up in North Manhattan to watch the SC game. We were all slathered in sweat. It was so insanely hot, right? That was Saturday. Sunday morning, JB had to run out to run some errands. When he came home, he dragged me outside. His car thermometer said 100 degrees at my house.
Wow.
A hundred. I, you know, inside it was, it, it, it was about 86. It was pretty stifling, but it wasn't as hot. It was so hot on Sunday. I mean, you couldn't breathe. You couldn't breathe. I looked at him. I said, we can't stay in this house today. So we went to the beach. We were at the beach all day. We were at the beach till about 6 o'clock. And then that weird rainstorm rolled in.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, right. It poured. It poured in South Redondo. But we ended up spending all day at the beach Sunday and all day at the beach Monday. And the water was gorgeous. The water was like 74 degrees. It was really nice.
Yeah.
So I always say September is the best time to go swimming. But it was 100 degrees at my house.
Yeah.
John said he was coming home and he was at the light at PCH and PV Boulevard. And he looked at his thermometer and it went from 99 to 100. So it was 100. I've never seen it 100 at the beach, ever.
Right, right. No, it's really unusual. Records were broken all over, but it's just you know, it's amazing. Never been that hot before. It was 100 degrees in Westwood Village, but because there's so many buildings and high-rise buildings, it felt even hotter. And
Oh yeah. No, it was. I've never experienced heat like that on the coast. You know, I mean, inland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go a mile inland, it can be 20 degrees warmer, but I've never experienced it more than I think we've gotten up to like 91, 92 here. I don't
mm-hmm.
remember it ever
right.
hitting 100. So, it was a little nutty. And then, of course, speaking of weather, we have another hurricane barreling. Into the southern United States, right? I haven't had a chance this morning to look at the news to see which – they're still trying to figure out which path it's going to take, if it's going to veer off back to the ocean, or it could possibly go towards the Gulf, or we could get a direct hit on Miami. I have a sister that lives down there, so I spoke to her last night and kind of begged her to get the hell out of there. So,
Where does she live?
She is in Jupiter Beach, which is about, I don't know, an hour and a half north of Miami.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But she said she's not in the floodplain. So, I don't know what that means. So I'm going to call her right after the show. And, I'll check out the news and see what's going on. And then I'll call her and see. Anyway, so lots going on weather-wise,
wow.
huh?
Irma. It's coming. Yeah. Hurricane Irma.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway. We have a good topic today, a very important topic.
Yeah, it's the kind of topic that many, many people, you know, everyone deals with. Some people that struggle with this topic don't want other people to know that they're struggling with this topic because it can be very, I want to say, embarrassing. And we're going to talk about all of that and more. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Chris Castigar, president of Credit First. Now, Chris is a Manhattan Beach native. He attended MiraCosta High School and graduated from UC Berkeley, where he majored in human biodynamics. Chris has over 20 years of experience in the finance industry, working for multiple financial institutions as a residential and commercial mortgage broker. The 2008 mortgage recession impacted his business and finances so much that his home went into foreclosure. Since then, he has studied the laws of the Fair Credit Reporting Act and Fair Debt Collection Practices Act and started his company, Credit First. Credit First's goal is to help heal businesses and individuals who are struggling with challenged credit, overburdened student loans, and other financial challenges which are limiting them from creating the life they desire. Now, when he's not working, Chris is an avid snowboarder, wakeboarder, and travel junkie. And this morning, we're going to learn about the services Credit First offers and how they can help you get your finances back on track. Chris, welcome to the program. We're so glad you could join us this morning. Is Chris there? We can't hear Chris. Chris, do you have us on mute?
His line looks good.
His line is good. He's on here. I'm going to hang up with him and call him back. All right.
All right.
You keep talking about credit. I'll be right back.
I will talk about credit. Or, fascinating, Hurricane Irma has slammed into Puerto Rico and is continuing its path. I think the National Weather Service is following it very, very closely. And we'd love to get some more detailed updates, but I guess we'll have to turn to the Weather Channel for that. We will see what weather.com has to say.
Joe?
Yes.
I tried dialing. It's going straight to voicemail, so I left him a message. I'm waiting for him to call back in. So, anyway, what were you saying about
Yeah, I was just saying that it looks like going to the Weather Channel, weather or just weather.com, you can get some current updates on Hurricane Irma and Florida evacuees have already been announced. St. Martin's Beach, several things about Irma have been trending in the news. I'm definitely going to follow up on this. But
well,
it looks like the latest is that it might not. I don't know. Who knows? They still say it could hit Florida directly, and that would be horrible. But at least the latest is that it's not going in the Gulf, potentially, and that's great. Because the Gulf had its share. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My husband was on the computer last night looking at it, and the reports coming out of Barbuda?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not Barbados.
Not
Barbados.
Yeah.
But no, it was flattened. It was flattened. 90% of structures are gone. Just gone. So it flattened, and I don't know what it did to Puerto Rico.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah, but you're right. The Gulf cannot take another hit. The Gulf doesn't need any more wind or rain.
No.
I mean, nobody needs it. You know, the best we can hope. Is it still a Cat 5?
Yeah, as far as I know, it is still a Cat 5. Yeah.
Jeez. All right, I'm gonna, you keep talking about that. I'll be right back. I'm gonna see if I can try Chris again, okay? All right.
Yeah, I'm trying to find, as of 11 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, it looks like it's right over, it has passed Puerto Rico, and it's right over just to the north of the Dominican Republic and on its way towards Turks and Caicos. Winds sustained 175, millibar pressure 921, which is insanely low. It's moving at 16 miles an hour, which is terrible. It would be a blessing if it were to move faster. 75 miles east northeast of the Puerto Rican Dominican Republic, and it is still, as we know, a Category 5. Well, okay. So hopefully, people have prepared. I mean, obviously, this is hurricane territory. People go through hurricanes on a regular basis every hurricane season. Hopefully, there will be limited lives lost. Limited property damage to the degree that that's possible with a category of hurricane. And hopefully things will be better. But we are all affected by this, very much so. I mean, when you think of the devastation in Texas and Louisiana from Hurricane Harvey, it's just been amazing, the outpouring of support and how hopefully the country has responded. Yeah, they're
okay,
giving
we're
us some.
back. We're back.
Back. We're back.
We're back with Chris.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Not too bad. Sorry about the technical glitch.
No, that's fine. That's fine. That's happening all over the Caribbean right now with Hurricane Irma. We were just talking about lots of things that are the track seems to be somewhere near Miami. It's going to be sustained winds, perhaps in the 145 range as it works its way up the Florida coast, and those spaghetti models where they plan multiple routes, well, they all include Florida no matter what. Oh, it's going to get hit.
We'll
I actually have friends in Turks and Caicos, and that's going to get hit in the next few hours, right, almost
right.
Directly over the eye too. Yeah,
right, that is right. And it's still a Cat 5, so it's going to be a hard hit. Wow.
Yeah, I heard the island of St. Martin on the French district, 95% of the island's devastated.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I heard the same thing about Barbuda. Yeah. It's going to be bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, Turks and Caicos, I was in Turks and Caicos about 10 years ago. My husband and I were down there, and it was right after there was a change in the government. Somebody new was in, and prior to that, they didn't have a ton of development in Turks and Caicos. And when we got there, it was just the start of it. We remember seeing a lot of new construction, you know, the big resorts and stuff, you know, big hotels, big resorts. Mm-hmm. So in the last 10 years, it's developed quite a bit. So it's going to be interesting to see how they weather this storm.
Definitely.
Lots of tourists. Yeah.
Yes.
So now,
big,
Chris.
Go ahead.
Hmm?
Yeah.
No. You first.
I was going to say, Turks is actually a huge dive destination, and a lot of the facilities there, people go diving because it's some of the best diving in the world. So that's one of the that's why people are attracted to Turks. It's a gorgeous island. I used to live there when I was in my 20s.
Okay.
Well, lucky
okay.
you. Nice.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about. Your journey. I mean, we know that you're a Manhattan Beach native, went to high school locally, graduated from UC Berkeley, but what were you thinking would be your major sort of life's work or the career that you wanted? What were your thoughts at that time?
So I've always been kind of a person that wants to help people. Someone that would, you know, want to give back and, you know, give people tools to always feel like even though life is a little bit overwhelming, there's always hope. Because in the journeys we take throughout our days, sometimes things seem like it's just treacherous and there's no way out. You know, I've had a very unique life and I've dealt with some of my own trials and tribulations. And so the tools that I've gained along the way, I'd love to give back to people. And so kind of I was on that path. And it's just funny how the path turned into the company that I have now and what we do now in regards to that, you know, helping of other people. It's kind of interesting, you know.
So then 2008 came. And
I was a mortgage broker,
you know,
in 2008.
Yeah.
And the market went sideways. I was also a full-time father of twin boys. I have been for almost the last 9 years. So for me, I was always looking for something that I can do from home or do that was very localized. And I didn't have to travel to a company or travel to a job that was far away. And it evolved over the, you know, from 2008 on to like 2011, it was taking form, but then not really taking shape. And then actually over the last 4 to 5 years, it finally just started taking a lot more shape because I started doing a lot more research in the market of credit and in the laws that pertain to consumers' rights and how things are reported in the market or on credit reports. And that really helped me establish what we do today and how I've used that and parlay that into a business because of what we know and then following it along the lines. I don't know if you're familiar with credit repair, but it's one of those businesses that if you ask somebody, hey, or you say I do credit repair, people already think you're a scam artist. That's the ongoing dynamic on market is that everyone's out to screw you. They're scam artists. They're just going to take your money and not do anything. So biggest challenge for us and for our company is we've been having to battle that the whole time. And as people start recognizing, hey, this company has professional values. They have integrity. They do what they say they're going to do. They don't charge you up front. They actually charge you at the end. And the word is getting out that there are companies like mine that do this work and are professional and then have integrity and follow the laws that are set in place and actually enforce the laws for the consumers. And that's kind of how this has all been developed. And it's really interesting. The business itself is taking in a new direction. And we're hoping that we can get the people that are doing this from a perspective of they're just going to take the money and not do anything, that we can push those people out of the industry. And that the people that...
Chris, tell us... I was looking on your website. Tell us how important credit is. What if your credit's messed up, tell us what parts of your life it's going to affect or could affect.
It can affect anywhere from a job to a car to a credit card to being applied even for colleges. This is the biggest one, I think, probably is employment, is where an employer might pull your credit report, and if they see negative or derogatory or just poor credit history, they may not want to hire you because they don't know if the integrity of you working for the company is at risk. Is this person going to embezzle from us? You know, these are things that the companies are concerned with. If this person's having credit problems, how do we know that they're not, if we're doing a financial, if we're in the financial markets or we're doing something that's pertaining to money, do we have to be concerned? There's also the basis of, I just got sidetracked on another thought, but, it's really integrated. I mean, our country operates completely on credit. That's how the United States it operates daily. Business credit is important for businesses. Like they themselves have to get credit to get products from certain vendors. Or they might have revolving accounts. It's integrated in every aspect of our lives. And the thing that I think is really tough is that this is probably the biggest challenge is most individuals take credit as their character. And the thing that we always want to convey is credit is not a reflection of who you are as a person. It's just a reflection of what's going on with you right now or what has happened in the last 7 years. Because it's never a reflection of who you are or what you do or who you are, your character as an individual. It's just a reflection upon your credit worthiness at that moment in time. And that's the greatest thing is you can always adjust it and recorrect it and get back into using your credit again.
Chris, what is your website?
It's Credit First, and First is spelled with a U, not an I. And our slogan is like our spelled name, errors are made every day. Don't let an error impact your financial dreams.
I gotta tell you, I know that Joe has heard this story before, but from a very young age, my mother stressed the importance of good credit, and I remember when I first went to work, and I wanted to get a credit card, and I picked up an application and. Filled it out, sent in, and I was declined. And they explained that I'd have to have a co-signer. So I went to my mother and father, and I said, will you co-sign this credit application for me? And they said, no. And I said, well, how on earth am I going to create a credit standing if I don't have a credit card? And my mother said to me, you've been working for a while now. She said, go to your bank. Take out a small personal loan, she said, and pay it back on time, and then you will have established credit. So I did. Mm-hmm. I went to the bank. I think I took out like $1,500. I borrowed $1,500. I paid it back, and boom, I was able to get a credit card on my own. And she instilled in us the importance of it. I mean, to this day, she's like, don't pay your bills late. You know, all of these things that go into making, creating your credit history. And there's a lot to it. You know, there's a lot to it. Just a few years ago, I remember I was, cleaning out my wallet or something, and I came across a credit card that I had not used in years, you know, and I'm like, well, I haven't used this and I don't need it. And, you know, let me get rid of it. And so I called to cancel the account. And the guy was like, you know, you have a great credit rating. You know, it's okay that you don't use the card. You know, if you don't use it, you don't have to pay fees. He said, you should keep it. You should keep it. I'm like, yeah, no, I don't need it. And I did some research and he was right. You know, I should have kept it. I didn't. I closed the account. And afterwards, my husband was like, why'd you do that? You know, it's so important. It affects every aspect of your life.
You never know when you're going to need it. That's the hardest thing.
Now, my other life, I'm an urban farmer most of the time, but to make ends meet, my other life is actually consulting with people in the world of cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. And
yeah.
In the Bitcoin world, you learn that, you know, the U.S. dollar and our entire financial system is based on debt. You know, money is really debt. It is, you don't have money in the bank. You've loaned money to the bank, and they give you terrible interest, and then they loan it out at high interest to your neighbors. That's how money works. But the key is this, credit is necessary. So when you meet a client, of course, many times they have not been able to meet their obligations. They've not been able to pay their bills on time. They're struggling with bill collectors calling and, you know, being able to buy a home or buy a car or all the things that they may want to use credit for. How do you start with them? What is the process that you start with them? Chris?
Well, if someone, most of my clients have established credit or their credit is poor for that, you know, for lack of better words, where they've had derogatories or negative items, or they've had things in their lives. I mean, probably the biggest thing that impacts people's lives and really impacts people's credit is divorce. Anytime someone gets a divorce, the first thing it's going to start failing is their credit, because now there's only one income or whatever the situation is. Now there's a challenge. So I'm always typically getting people that have had bad marks in the credit report, which then I have to go and start, you know, working on getting those removed or verified and challenged. Like Jackie, I want to kind of just go back to what you were talking about earlier. Your parents actually weren't going to co-sign for you, but the coolest thing about credit is that kids, you know, if they're in their late teens, their parents can put them on their credit cards as authorized users. An authorized user is actually a person that becomes what they do is they inherit that person's credit. So like I have two boys, they're 16. I put them on one of my cards that they'll, when they're 18, have my credit history on their credit report. So when they are 18 years old, they can go get their own credit card. It might not be a lot of money for them. You know, they might not give them a big amount, but they'll give them something because they'll have a credit history with one card that's on their report. And that's the first way to really establish credit is really, if you have none, you know, work on getting an authorized user account. Ask a parent or a family member, hey, do you mind if I just have an authorized user? What most people think is that if this person I put as an authorized user, they're going to damage my credit. Well, the greatest thing is that they have no impact upon the account because that account is owned by the primary, and they're just getting permission to share their credit history with that individual. And the credit history is huge because it's based on when the account was opened to where it is today. So like what we were talking about earlier in regards to closing that account, you know, the gentleman was right on the phone in the sense that he said, don't close it because you're missing out on the opportunity. Let's say you had a credit card that was opened in, say, 2001, and that's your longest standing credit history account that was open, but you have new accounts that were open, say, 2010, 2014, 2016, and you close the one that was from a long time ago, you lose credibility on the history because history is basically one-third of your credit report. history. So if you've had her for 15 years, that's a good sign. Okay, hold, this person's been having credit history for the last 15 years. We can use that as a basis to score the credit score. And that's important to when you look at that. So if anybody's thinking about possibly closing an account that they're not using, just think before you do it. Do some research.
Yeah, I didn't know. I wasn't aware. I did not know. Yeah. But my credit's
so
good.
My credit's good. Yeah. I'm looking at Credit First, but is it creditfirst.com or is it creditfirst dot something else?
No, it's creditfirst.com, and it's F-U-R-S-T.
Okay. Yeah, F-U-R-S-T. So it says that you're located in Mesa, Arizona.
Mesa. Yeah, that's where our company's based.
Okay. Why did you locate in Mesa, or is the company already established when you joined them?
No, I actually I like Mesa because I have friends out there and I go and visit and I have it's kind of like a second home for me. So it was easier to establish a company in that state than it is in California. California laws sometimes take a little bit longer to establish a corporation. For Arizona,
right.
It was really easy. It probably took me 7 days to do it. It was pretty quick.
Right.
And since I have friends and family out there, I just chose to base it in that state.
Right. Fantastic. Okay. Well, now, okay. Again, the process, Chris, take us through the process. Someone calls, someone writes, someone visits your Facebook page and they say, I want to clean up my credit, or I want to get a review of what I can do to improve my credit. How do you guys work?
The first thing that we would need is, of course, the Holy Bible of credit. That's the all-inclusive credit report, the one that has all three bureaus on it. And that way we can then look at it and see what's on the credit report. And we scrutinize it. We go through and give it a complete comprehensive review and look at every account, look at what's going on, see what the situation is of the person, ask specific questions of what their long-term goals are. You know, most of our clients need things done yesterday. in terms of credit repair, that doesn't happen too often. Most once we've gotten someone's file, then we'll go through and we'll figure out how many accounts we need to work on, how much we're looking at possibly helping them get their credit scores back up, give them a quick review of their situation, and then we give them a price on that. And then from there, it typically takes most clients between 6 and 10 months to get the results they want, where our goal is to get anything that's negative, anything from a judgment, anything from a tax lien, public records, bankruptcies, short sales, foreclosures. Those items are very damaging. But the greatest thing about the reporting aspect of it is everything has to be verified. I mean, I should be able to request documentation from those companies reporting it, and they should be able to reply to provide it for me. If they don't provide it, or there's an inaccuracy, a name spelling that's inaccurate, an address that's wrong, a social security number that's posting sometimes one digit off, that's inaccurate. Mm-hmm. Everything on a credit report has to be 100% accurate and verifiable. And what most people don't understand is that when you challenge something, most of the bureaus know this game, and so their goal is to send you back a report saying this has been verified, but they haven't really verified it. And most consumers feel stumped because, okay, now what do I do next? And that's when you have to get the law on your side, and you have to know how to dispute it and respond back to the companies and say, great, if you verified this, show me the methods. Let me see the documentation. Let me see what you've done. And then they'll send some templated form letter that comes back as an auto response. And it's the same. And it's one thing. Now you have an illegal, you know, stranglehold because they haven't followed through with what they're supposed to do legally. So then you get legal language together and forward that to them. And typically it takes, like I said, it's a typical time term. It's like, you know, 6 to 8, but it takes, every time you send a letter off, it's a 30-day window that they have to dispute or to investigate. So it stretches it out so long. By the time we finally get them into a violation or a legal position where they haven't done what they're supposed to do, it's, you know, like it's 6 months out. So that's what takes so long to get those things done. In some situations, I have actually contacted a company and had things removed in a day. And those are the ones that you like to do because the clients are so excited, but that's not a rule of thumb. It doesn't happen every day. Those are the fun ones. When you do something and it happens in, you know, 2 or 3 days, it's just awesome because then the clients are really happy and gets them back. Except I think the biggest issue with most people with credit, the biggest problem is collections. I think collections are one of the most damaging to the credit report and the ones that most consumers don't understand. Most people don't understand what a collection is. They don't understand the reality behind the collection. They don't understand the laws behind it. And that's probably the most challenging thing is that any type of collection that's on the credit report, the first thing you need to do is attack it and get that thing off as quickly as possible. You know, once you get those off, that usually that typically gets the scores back up pretty quickly.
Okay. Now, we want to know about the growth of this industry. I mean, as you said, there are some unscrupulous actors out there. There's certainly a targeting of people that are just entering the credit market or have had issues. I can't remember. It's just creditrepair.com, I think, or something. They advertise on some radio stations, like hip-hop radio stations, like every 5 minutes. I don't know why that demographic, but they target people that are having issues with their credit, and they string them along, and it's difficult to cancel, and there's been so many stories. But the growth of the industry, tell us a little bit about that and how that's going.
Well, I think a lot of this, it's been around for a long time. Credit, I mean, I was doing my own, this is so funny, because in the 90s when I had my own credit problems, I started, you know, doing it myself, and I'm like, this is not difficult. You just have to know how to say specific things a certain way. But I learned it early, and it's been around for a long time. That's the one thing about the credit world, is because, like you said earlier, we're a country that lives on credit, and that's how this economy functions. And without it, we don't have an economy. So I think as more and more people understand and actually get educated, because realistically, a lot of people, I think, feel resigned that there's nothing they can do. Oh, forget this. I can't do anything. You know, they don't understand the legal system and how the laws are in place to actually protect them, and actually how most of the companies, especially, this is the funniest thing of all. So there's probably anywhere between, say, 400 million and 450 million credit profiles that the bureaus, there's three of them. There's Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian. They manage, those are the account, they manage all those accounts. Of those accounts, I want to say probably 90% of them, 90% have errors in them. Errors which are, like I said, name spellings, wrong addresses, social security number variations. Those impact the credibility of people. They don't know that if they challenge those items or they take on the responsibility of looking at their credit, making sure they're scrutinizing it all the time, they can hold that credit at a higher standard, and it actually makes the bureaus accountable, which most of the time they can't because they're managing so much data. You know, so it's important to maintain that. So as an industry, I think the industry is growing rapidly because I think more and more people are starting to see that it's important to have credit, especially with what we do day in and day out. And like I said, if we can continually educate people so that they're not thinking that there's nothing they can do when they have something that happened 4 years ago or 5 years ago, or even today, something that happened just yesterday, they can still have there's still a solution for them. You know, sometimes it just, like I said, it might take some time, but in essence, the industry is growing. I mean, it is becoming more integrity based, a lot more professional. The companies are out there that are using the laws. There's attorneys that are even getting involved in this and trying to sue these companies, you know, cause they're looking at it as a windfall.
Now, Jackie has said that she has good credit, but is it something that people that believe that they
excellent,
have good credit
excellent,
should?
Excellent credit, actually. Excellent. Yeah.
Sorry, not just good.
Just saying. Excellent.
Should people like Jackie with excellent credit, Chris, excellent, should they call Credit First and have a checkup, a tune-up, some kind of visibility into their combined credit reports on a regular basis?
I don't think they need to call us per se, but this is what I would advise. The recommendation is to keep an eye on your credit every year. I don't agree with that. I think you should keep an eye on your credit every 3 to 6 months. And the reason why I say that is because the biggest issue in our society today is identity theft. And a lot of people, because our lives are so busy, and Jackie, you have excellent credit, but be careful saying that, because if people get your information, they could go and steal your identity. And that's important to manage it, that you are aware of what's going on in your report, because if something happens and someone does steal your identity, then you're dealing with a whole different issue. And that opens up a whole different arena of issues and struggles and challenges that no one wants to deal with.
Yes. No, you know, it's interesting. Historically, you don't pay attention to your credit until you need it, right? You're going to go buy a home.
Yeah.
You're going to go buy a car.
Yeah.
You know, historically, and 9 times out of 10, you don't know you have a problem until they don't approve your application, right? You know, and we've bought several homes, we've refinanced. So we have always kept very good tabs on our stuff, but you're right. And I do that because some of my credit cards offer me free credit reports, you know, every year. Yeah. So I actually do. I keep a close eye on it. Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. We do. It might not be every 3 months. It might be every 4 or 5, but we do. Yeah.
This is a cool thing I think that the banks have started to buy into or pick up on is they're offering the programs like CreditWise or another type of monitoring service that they're doing automatically. Discover does it. I know Chase does it. I'm not sure of some of the other bigger banks, but they're doing it so people can keep an eye on, or Capital One does it. They're keeping an eye on what their credit could potentially be. I think that's important because then they can keep an eye on it. I mean, there are free services. There's a site out there called Credit Karma that offers two reporting agencies. One is Equifax and the other one's TransUnion. Actually, Credit Karma is actually run by TransUnion. And they do offer a free service. I always recommend if you're going to use them, just don't take your credit score as the basis of what your score is, because the probably most misunderstood information is how things are scored. And there's almost 40 scoring models on the market, ranging from credit cards to student loans to credit to cars to mortgages. So if let's say you're going to go get a mortgage, and they're going to the algorithms that they have in place look at your credit history and they score it based upon how many mortgages you have. That's just for doing a mortgage algorithm. Then they'll do the same for cars. They'll do the same for credit cards. And if you have those types of accounts on there, those actually strengthen your credit report. Like I've seen some people that have, you know, poor credit card history, but they have great mortgage history, and they'll go get a mortgage, and the mortgage broker's like, great, this is perfect, we can do this for you. And you're like, how is that possible? But it's just funny. There's lots of scoring models, so be careful. That would be my advisement, is just be careful and know where you're going to when you pull your credit and you're looking at your score. Make sure you understand that the scoring model that they're using, because a lot of it can be misconstrued. And misleading.
Okay.
It's like a tax code. Nobody understands it.
Well, this is fascinating. I mean, what have we not talked about, Chris, that you meet on a regular basis with your company? What are people doing that they should not do? What are they not doing that they should do?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. I think a lot of it is what we've just discussed is just keeping an eye on your credit and like really being aware of where things are and understanding it. And if you have questions, I mean, like, yeah, you can call us and we'll answer questions. Definitely. If they're simple, you know, we don't have a problem giving information or free consultations. Please don't abuse the time, because we're really busy with other things as well and helping other clients. So, you know, our job is to definitely help educate and give awareness and knowledge so people can learn to do this themselves. I mean, my goal is in the next, you know, probably 3 to 6 months is have a lot more video series on our website and through our YouTube channel that's going to help educate people on some of the steps that they can do themselves. My goal is empowering people that realize that, well, take responsibility for your affairs, take responsibility for your choices, and realize that a lot of the things that are going on in the bureau world and the banking world, a lot of it's not true. A lot of it's misguided, and a lot of it they'll use to manipulate and, you know, try to scare you so that you don't take hold or of what's possible in your life, if that makes sense. You know, it's tough. Most people don't understand the law. They don't understand how to use it. So if you can get it more educated and monitor your credit history, I think that then they become responsible with their choices, and that doesn't really have a massive impact if they do need it or just something comes up haphazardly.
Right. Right.
You know, the ones we're always getting are the people that need it, you know, that are in an urgency. I need it yesterday. I need it now. I need to get this done. And, you know, they're in a hard money loan, or they're dealing with other situations where they just, you know, they needed it 2 months ago sometimes. And that's the hardest thing. You know, we have to manage expectation, and we really want to help. I mean, a lot of it is coaching people to kind of walk them off the ledge and realize, hey, look, it's not the end of the world. This is what's happening right now. Let's work through this. Let's see if we can be a little more compassionate about this. Don't be so stressful, and don't put so much stress in yourself. You know, at the end of the day,
we'll
get the job done. And that's what's going to happen. Sometimes things aren't supposed to happen right now. Sometimes they're supposed to happen in 6 months. Sometimes they're supposed to happen in a year. So, I mean, a lot of us want to have it, you know, the way we want to have it. And sometimes the universe doesn't have it planned out that way for us. You have a whole different approach. We're going in a much different direction. Wait a second, I don't want to go this direction. So it's funny. I just have to laugh about it, because it's just, we all deal with it. Every one of us does. You know, we're all dealing with our own stress and what we want to have happen today. And sometimes it doesn't happen in the moment. It happens, you know, 6 months, sometimes 2-3 years down the road.
And many times people don't learn properly at first, you know. We have all, you know, done it, you know, with our first credit card. You know, you run out and it's like, oh, this is great. Spend, swipe, swipe, you know. And then you get the big bill and you're like, oh, well, I only have to pay $28 this month, right?
Exactly.
And then all the interest and the fees and everything, and the next thing you know, you're 10 grand in the hole and you have no way of paying it back, and you want to go buy a new car, and it's like, oh shoot. And as you know, the numbers of people that are living in debt in this country are astronomical. I mean, it's scary when you hear on the news or read in the paper or something or online about how many people don't have any savings. Not only do they not have savings, they are deep in debt. Scary. It's scary. And credit is not one of those things they teach you in school. You know, I learned from my parents. My parents, I remember as a kid, you know, listening to my parents, you know, when they would sit around the dining room table paying their bills each month and talking about this and that. And, you know, so we were always aware of it. Yet I still have family members that spend like there's no tomorrow, you know, so.
A lot of it's just keeping up with the Joneses. That's the hardest thing. Everybody's got to keep up with them, and that's the challenge. Here's something that I wanted. You were talking about this, and this is so interesting. I don't think a lot of people realize. Here's a quick understanding of the algorithms. So credit scoring is based on risk, and it looks at the likelihood of you missing a payment in the next 30 days. That's the simplest way to look at credit. And one of the things that most people don't realize is, they may have a credit card. I've got a $5,000 credit card. And you're like, great. I've had it for 5 years. You're like, okay, great. And then I'm like, what's your balance? Oh, it's $49.99. You know, you're like, wait, you have a $5,000 limit and your balance is $49.99? You're like 99% utilized on your credit. Well, yeah, isn't that how you're supposed to do it? I'm like, no, actually, you want to keep your – so this is important. Keeping your utilization between 20 and 30% of your credit card is the most important part of the credit score. That's credit cards. And most people don't realize that. What happens, I've seen clients report, they come back to me, and I have brokers, mortgage brokers, who send me business all the time. And I look at the credit report, and I'm like, have you looked at their credit card balances? And they're like, well, why is their score so low? I'm like, that's the reason why, because if your credit card balances are actually close to their limits, And actually, if it goes over the limits, it's actually a high risk. So you want to be aware of it. And don't ever let your credit score go above the limit, because if you do, it's almost like getting a collection, which is anywhere between 100 to 150 point hit on your credit score. So someone who could have been, you know, a 700 is now a 600 because they had a $5,000 limit and they went to $5,002. That's a massive risk factor in that arena. So that will drop the score like to the floor really quickly. And I don't think a lot of people realize that utilization is a very important key element in how the scoring models work.
Okay.
So if you can keep it between 20 and 30%, that's the ideal. But sometimes if you get higher, then just bring it back down to 50%, or just as low as you can bring it, the better it is for you.
I have a question. I have a question. It's going to sound like a really stupid question, okay? Is it bad to pay off your credit cards every month?
It's not bad. Just recognize when you're paying them off and when they're being reported. So once a month, the credit card or the banks report on those credit cards to the bureaus. So let's say today is the 7th and your payment is, or your card reports on the 7th, and then you have a $5,000 limit and the balance is $4,500, which is, you know, 90% threshold, and you pay it off on the 9th. It's already been reported on the 7th at $4,500. So you have to be really cautious of when that date is being reported to the credit bureaus. So if you want to pay it off, it's totally fine. But just be aware of the date they report that to the bureaus, because if someone's carrying a $5,000 limit and they're almost maxed out, that will be high utilization. And they only report once a month, so it doesn't matter when you pay it. Just make sure you pay it before the reporting date is posted.
I never thought of that.
Yeah, I have a few tricks.
I gotta go. I gotta go pay my mortgage. I'll talk to you guys later.
Mortgage is different. Yeah, credit cards. They actually, it's funny. They actually give you a better rating if you carry a 20% balance.
Really?
So
okay.
I've looked at this is that the banks, if you're carrying a 20% balance on your credit card, the banks are making a little bit of money on you if you have an interest rate on your credit card. Some people carry 0%, which is, those are great cards to have. So it's always advantageous, because then the banks are like, oh, you're giving the bank a little bit of money for interest. So in aspects, they actually give you a little bit of love, because the algorithms see that and they'll score it as a higher score.
A little bit of money for the bank, but very low risk, because you're 80% available.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, it's funny. We learned this by trial and error, which is really funny. I had a client, and he and I were playing with it to see what was happening, and I saw his scores going back and forth, and we started realizing that where his balances were was affecting his credit score, and we started looking at those numbers. And it was just one of those tests that we did, you know, not really realizing it until I did a little research, and I looked in and go, that's exactly it. I heard about that, but I wasn't sure if it was true. And then we did that, and that's when I learned that part of the equation.
Right.
I didn't know. That's news to me.
It's like CPAs. They only know certain laws. Even some of the people at the IRS, they only know certain laws about stuff. As you get older, you keep learning more stuff. Your thing in life.
Wow. Wow.
That's great.
And
this is
something that affects every single person. Everybody.
Yes.
Everybody has to deal with their credit rating. It's, as I said, you don't pay attention to it till you need it, but it's something that you have to keep on top of. Wow.
Right. Now, Chris,
this is another one of these shows where we're learning, you know, Joe, how many times have we said it? You know, every week we learn something new, you know, and this is another one.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we get into getting your contact information and making sure people can find you if they have questions, when you think about Credit First, your company, what are your plans short term, next, you know, few years, 10 years? What are you trying to do? Are you trying to grow this big, or you just want it comfortable? What's going on?
I want it to be a household name. I mean, I love people that recognize that we're there to support people. And it's not just – this is the other thing, too. It's not just credit repair. There's also businesses. So small business owners, entrepreneurs, people with LLCs, business credit is as important and actually more important for them than personal credit. So businesses have credit ratings just like people do. And if you can maintain a business credit rating, you can actually get financing for your company without personally guaranteeing it. So what our agenda is to help continually educate people about their credit and how to use it properly and how to keep bringing knowledge to this arena and opening up information channels so that people understand, hey, in the business world, you want to use your business credit more than your personal credit. Most entrepreneurs or people that are just starting a company, the first thing a bank's going to do is get a personal guarantor on those accounts that they're trying to create if they want to get a loan. There's actually steps that you can take to build business credit that takes between, say, 6 months and 12 months so that you can get access to financing and different types of accounts so that your business credit profile, just like you're an 18-year-old coming out, you don't have no business credit or no credit, it applies to the business world as well. So these people don't have to guarantee these accounts. They can actually just use their company as the liable company. And most people that own corporations, they own a corporation to protect their own personal assets. So our goal is to continually educate and bring awareness to credit, not just on the personal side, but also on the business side. Those are two arenas that are huge in this world, and most people don't realize the information that's out there, or how to take advantage of it, or how to, you know, just have access to it.
Right.
So that's my vision is bringing more awareness to this and educating a lot more people, so they understand how credit operates. And like we've said, this economy operates on it. And if you don't know how to use it properly, then you're not really taking advantage of it to do the things you might want to be doing.
Right. So now, Chris, how do we get in touch with Credit First?
Well, you can go to our website, which, as I said, it's www.creditfirst, and first is spelled with a U, so it's FURST, and it's .com, or you can call us on our phone number, which is a 623 number. It's 623-295-9694, and you can either leave a message on the line. One of our agents will get back to you, or you can actually leave a message on our website. We have a space where people can leave information if they request that they want to get a consultation on their credit so we can contact them. So those two channels are the best way to contact us.
Okay. Fantastic.
I need to check my business credit.
Okay.
I never thought of that. I didn't know that. I never knew that. I never thought about it. I need to check it.
See, do you have a separate?
Most people don't know.
No. Do you have a separate entity, Jackie, set up for your business? I mean, like an LLC or something like that?
Sole proprietor. Sole proprietor. Yeah.
Yes, you have an EIN for the sole proprietor. Yeah, we might need to talk about that offline.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. One more thing.
Having a corporation is important, or an LLC, or something, that, because then you're protecting your own personal assets.
All right.
Yeah,
I'm going to get on it.
We can definitely have that conversation.
All right.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Chris Castigar, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it immensely. Have a great one.
Credit First. Credit First. Credit First. And thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
That's our show for today, ladies and gentlemen. Tomorrow, it's all about Manhattan Chamber of Commerce. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.